Okay, good afternoon, group. My name is Michael, and I'm an addict. And I'm truly glad to be here today, and I'm glad all of you are here. It's really only by God's grace and His mercy that I'm here today and I'm clean. Because if I had my druthers, I'd be somewhere with a hype in my neck or trying to get a rock or drinking a half pint of whiskey. Because that's just my story. That's just how I am. The meeting today is we're talking about just for the day. And first of all, I got to tell you a little bit about me and how it used to be with me. You know, I'm an addict that came from Washington, D.C. I was born and raised in Washington. And my addiction started at a very early age. Right around 12 or 13 years old. And that addiction progressed, just like it says in the literature, until for 35 years, that's all I did was use some mind-altering chemical to change my mood, because I didn't like who I was. You know, it says somewhere in the literature, too, I was always finding ways and means to get more, because one was too many for me, but 1,000 was never enough. You know, I often think about how it used to be, and I got to tell you that, and I usually start this story right at the end of that active addiction. You know, when I had those thoughts of complete and utter despair. You know, I used to be a heck of a guy. I could always find a way to get what I wanted. You know, but at the end, I could be walking down the street and somebody would say, "Oh, shoot, here he comes again." You know, they hate to see me coming. And I always thought I was a heck of a guy. You know, I was a guy that would go from one woman to another till she got sick of me, and then she'd put me out and I'd go to another one. I'd have children in one household, and when the responsibilities would get too great, I'd go to another one, you know, have some more. You know, I was always running from things, you know, never able to really sit still. Always wondering, when I came to in the morning, you notice I said came to, not wake up. When I come to in the morning, and my thoughts would be on how to get it, how to get it in me, how to get it, and how to get it in me. That's all I'd be thinking about. But at the end, like I said, it wasn't funny. Utter and complete despair. I had those feelings of impending doom. I just didn't know when that next foot was going to drop. And I often think about this. I used to share about this a lot. I can remember at that end when you guys used to see me walking down the street begging for change and would say, "Oh, shit, here he comes again." I had a great idea. I said, "I know where I can get some money. I got some children that live on the other side of town, and these children always have piggy banks because their mothers and their uncles and the grandparents always would give them change. They had piggy banks." And you see, I had this idea. All I needed was a couple of dollars to get started during the day so I could really think about how I was going to get what I really wanted to get. Because you guys saw me coming down the street and wouldn't even give me $1.10 for a pint of wine. So I said, I'd just go all the way across town to these children, two of some daughters I had across town, and get some money out of their piggy bank. And I can remember to this day going across town with no money and going up to the mother's apartment. Now, you see, I got to go now because the mother's at work, because she's got to raise these kids. You see, I'm not raising them because all I'm thinking about is finding ways and means to get more. Love them dearly, but I'm caught in the grips. I just don't know what else to do. You know, so I got to go. But she's at work. That's the only time I can get there. Because if I go there while she's there, I know all hell's going to break loose. So I can remember going. And as I was approaching the door, I could hear him playing in the apartment. You know how little kids play. Two little girls, they're playing. So I knocked on the door. And the oldest one came, and I could hear her tipping up to the peephole, and she looked up. Then I could hear her kind of scuffling back and telling her little sister, "Shh, is Daddy at the door? If you keep quiet, he might go away." I tell that story a lot. And it affects me the same today as it did when I first told it a few 24 hours ago. But see, I never want to forget that. That feeling that I had at that moment. That feeling of that total despair that I was telling you about. That feeling lower than the proverbial footprint. Not knowing what else to do. At that moment, I just wanted to give it all up, just chalk it all in. You know, my thing was then I'll show them all. I'll just jump off the highest bridge I can find, splatter myself across the pavement. I'll really show them this time. That's what I'm going to do, too, because I'm sick of it. Sick of living the way I'm living. And I can remember heading toward this tall bridge, and I got to tell you, the addict in me was saying as I was going toward this bridge, "Well, Mike, maybe if you go up there today, it might be the wrong time. Maybe you should wait till tomorrow." In other words, folks, what I'm telling you is that I was afraid to live, but I was scared to die. Total and complete despair. Because I'm living into tomorrow, how I'm going to get it, what am I going to do with it once I do get it. You know, everything's going to be all right if I can just get some right now. You know, my ship is going to come in. You know, but I was the guy at the end of my rope. You know, I'd be waiting for my ship to come in, but I'd be at the bus station. Not knowing what else to do. At that moment, I was just right for this blessed fellowship. Because at that moment, I experienced what I call divine intervention. And that divine intervention came in the presence of one of those children that I had abandoned years before who happened to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous. Came to me at that moment. And she said, "Daddy, are you all right?" And for the first time in my life, I got honest. I don't know where that honesty came from. Because I'm not an honest guy. You know, I always have a story to tell you to get what I want. But at that time, the pain was so great, and I just didn't know what else to do. I just told the truth. And said, "Baby, I don't know what to do. Everything's just falling all apart on me. I just can't get right here." She said, "Yeah, I've heard that before. Are you ready? And then I said, yes, I was ready, and I started on this journey. And it's been almost 8 years. I haven't found it necessary to take any mood-changing chemicals since that time. Because one of the things that they told me when I went to treatment, and I got to tell you, I've been in treatment a lot of times in that 35 years that I was telling you about. But I always had reservations in my mind because I always thought I had the right answer. All I needed was just a little rest. You know, as soon as the color starts coming back and I get a few muscles and things, then I'm ready to go back out there because I'm going to have another idea. You know, the light bulb's going to come on. But see, this time that didn't happen because I just didn't know what else to do. So I was able to sit still. And one of the things that this daughter told me when she was taking me to treatment at the time, she was saying, and this is so profound for me, folks. She said, Daddy, don't go up into your head unless you take an adult along with you. And this is my daughter telling me this. A very humbling thing. Because I was in that pain, and I told you I just didn't know what else to do. I listened to her, and I had to decipher exactly what she meant by that. Is that, you know, all my ideas just didn't work. They just didn't work. All those times I was in treatment centers, I wasn't open to listen to anything. So I didn't go up into my head. I sat up front and I did some of the things that you guys kind of told me to do, which was to go to meetings on a daily basis, to pray, to try to help somebody without any strings attached. You know, some of the things that they tell you, you know, when you're early in recovery. But the one thing that they told me, and that's the thing that I really carry to this day, is that this is a one day at a time program. So here we come into this just for today. Because just for today, I do not want to use. Just today. You know, I don't want to use. And I had to come down here to Ocean City to be around some people who are just like me.
Come on.
Just like me. You know, hard-headed to the core. Yeah, yes you are. Yes you are. Self-centered. Oh, yes, I'm self-centered. You know, all those things. You know, fearful. You know, I know you're not going to admit it, but I'm going to talk about me because I'm fearful. You know, I'm the kind of guy that's afraid of failure, but I'm also the guy that's afraid of success. And I have to be really mindful of that. You know, it's been a while since I did meetings every day. And this kind of ties into this just for the day thing because I've been experiencing some things, some medical problems lately. You know, went to the doctor not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, and they said, we got to take some blood. I said, oh, shit. Got to take some blood. Did you pack your lunch? Because it's going to be an all-day job. And as usually the case, it was like that because I've used all the veins in my body. From the bottom of my feet, yes, the bottom. I tried to hit one in my big toe up under the toe. To the top of my head, because I used to see a vein sticking right in the middle of the head. I said, I can hit this thing. I tried to hit them all. And as would be the case, I didn't have any more left. So it takes them a hard time, you know, to get blood. But in this case, the results came back. You know, I got a bad liver. I've also got hepatitis C. You know, and the doctors told me that a lot of addicts have hepatitis C because of using the needles and things so much, you know. And he said, your liver is so bad that, you know, you're excreting blood from the liver, you know, and all. You know, you might get cirrhosis in a minute, you know what I mean? Then, you know, down the road comes the cancer. And I said, oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness. I already threw two shovels of dirt on my face. You know. But I went to a meeting after I left the doctor's office. And I talked about how I was feeling because you guys told me that that's what I got to do. Just talk about how I feel. And you guys told me, don't keep living into tomorrow. Just live into the day. You know. Somebody in the meeting said, well, how you feel now? I said, oh, you talking about I'm going to die in 6 months? Or, you know, so I could possibly have some roses and, you know. But how do you feel today, Michael? And I had to think. I said, wow, I don't feel bad today. You know why I don't feel bad? Because I didn't wake up with a hangover this morning. I didn't wake up geeking, you know, crawling around the floor looking for pebbles this morning. I didn't smack my hands trying to find a vein this morning. You know, I woke up, I looked over, I had a pocket full of money. You know what I mean? I had a job to go to, you know. I had a loving wife. I had children that called me on a regular basis today. And I have friends that I can depend on because I come into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and I get honest with you. So I'm having a pretty damn good day. Just for the day. You know, just for the day. I tell myself, just for the day. You know what I mean? Now, I don't know how long we have to share at these things, but I just got to say that I'm glad I got the opportunity to share, really, because I came down here like, I'm going to be honest with you, I came down here like hiding from service work. You know what I mean? I said, I'm going to go down by the water. I'm just going to watch the waves, you know, in the water, and I'm just going to see a couple of people, and I'm going to get a couple of hugs. In other words, folks, what I was saying was I was keeping all this recovery to myself. And then somebody came up to me at the last minute and said, would you just do this just for the day meeting? And that's just where I am, you know, because I guess I really needed to just talk about me today, you know. I got to go back to the specialist, I think next week, next Wednesday, because he's going to give me some results of some more intricate tests that they've done. And I'm all right with it. You know, I'm really all right with it because I got a God of my understanding that I know didn't bring me from the depths of despair to go through what I'm going through, you know, by myself. I'm going to be all right. I want to thank everybody for being here for me, and thanks for letting me share, and I hope I can see you again next year.
Come here. I'd like to thank Mike once again for speaking. Let's give him another clap. And at this time, I would like to introduce our second drafted speaker, Robert. Yeah, that's gonna go.
My name's Robert, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Robert.
But you know, they told me when I came here, I got to be prepared, you know. And I'm really kind of disturbed because she asked me, because I got two people speaking in the next two rooms, that I was trying to go over there and hear what they had to say. But like Mike, I can't come in here and shoplift, you know. You know, the topic, I guess, is just for today. And just for today, man, I ain't used. And the program of Narcotics Anonymous gave me that promise, freedom from active addiction. And that's all it gave me, you know. What? You got some mail? Oh. Yeah. I ain't trying to get out of this, y'all. You know, I really ain't. What I'm trying to do now is trying to make a connection with my higher power so he can use his words to come out of my mouth that somebody may be touched. See, because she caught me off guard and I ain't prepared, and really, spiritually, I ain't down yet. So can we have a moment of silence for the addict who's still suffering so I can make a contact? I'm all right now. Juiced up. Juiced up. Yeah, I got my hit. You know, when I first came around, man, it was an old-timer who told me that when you're having difficulty in your day, you can always start your day over again. What I just did was jump-started my day. You know, because, see, I came into Narcotics Anonymous useless, hopeless, worthless, a bum who couldn't get out of Washington, D.C. because I ain't had no money. Today I got money and I travel. Just for the day. I don't try to use people. I try to be there for people to use me. When I started this journey over 10 years ago, I went to a guy. And mind you, where I got the information from to get to this guy. I was on the corner with addicts using, and they told me where to go to get some help. And when I went to this guy gave me an ultimatum. Well, he didn't give me an ultimatum. He said do 14 meetings in 7 days, and he would help me get into treatment. But he also gave me a choice. He said I could go back home or I could go to the shelter. And you people in these rooms destroyed a lot of illusions that I had by listening to the people around the fire barrel who always told me that if my mother had a place, I had a place. But you people straightened that up. Y'all told me if my name wasn't on the lease, I was homeless. I went to treatment, and when I left treatment, I had to go to a shelter. A hell of a guy like me had to go to a shelter. And in that shelter, man, I learned some humility. You know, I learned how to accept me as not being that person who I want to be in my mind, but that person who I really am. That scared, insecure, neurotic, and emotional person. I got that in here because somebody told me they was fine. You know what I'm saying? I see you fine. He said, yeah, fucked up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. So that works for me, you know. Because, see, I had to come in here and identify in. Because I tried so long to fit where I wasn't welcome, really. Didn't nobody want me when I ain't have shit. You know, those I heard Mike talk about his daughter peeping through the peephole. I can remember, man, music going on, man, and you know they in there having a party. And when I came, man, everything just shut down. You know, nobody wanted to be bothered with me, man. In the end, I went to see my mother. My mother made me go take a bath. That was her worst mistake. Because when I took that bath, I ain't never come out of the basement. Because I ain't had nowhere to go. I was so discouraged in the way that I was living because I was getting bad information and using bad information to make me a worse person. You know, when you tell somebody you got a problem when they're using, man, they really don't want to hear your problem.
But they'll agree with you as long as you got something, and they'll give you some more bad information to work with. And as long as I was getting bad information, man, I was accepted. You know, because I was there, and they made me feel like they wanted me around because I had something to give them. But the hit was, man, I was always being who they wanted me to be and never being who I am. And you people in Narcotics Anonymous have shown me how to be who I am. Just for the day. Just for the day, man, I ain't stealing no more. You know? Just for the day, if you drop your money on the ground, I ain't putting it in my pocket and tell you I ain't see it. Just for the day. You know? Just for the day, I can give somebody a hug who's going through something and honestly feel their pain without trying to talk about they've been around here long enough, man, that they should know better. Today I ain't in the judging business, man. Just for today. Today I'm in accepting business. See, you got a right to be whoever you are, to do whatever you want to do. I ain't got to like it, but I got to accept it. I can't put my values on you because I don't know where you've been. You know, I have to stop trying to think that I'm better than people and allow people to be right where they are. You know, I had some feelings a few minutes ago, and I do this at meetings, when I hear all the disturbance outside the room. But I got to remember those people outside the room are doing what they're doing. And I need to focus on where I'm trying to be at and stop trying to straighten some stuff up. You know, because when I came here, man, I was a fixer. In the street, if I couldn't get it done, you ain't want it done. In here, man, I don't have to fix nothing but me. You know, on a daily basis, man, I got to work and ask God to let me be who he wants me to be. And not who I'm trying to impress y'all people about who I'm trying to be. The image that I have today is something that I ain't working on. I ain't working on the image that I'm acquiring today. People tell me how nice I am. I tell them don't spread that rumor. You know, I don't want people to know how nice I am because, see, sometimes I have to tell somebody no because they think they got somebody that don't stand for something because I'm a nice guy. But see, no is a sentence. No is an answer. But you got to be careful how you give it because it'll come back and haunt you. It's real easy to say no because when you say no, it go out real small. But when no come back, it's like a big crushing snowball, man. You know? So I don't try to tell people no. I just try to tell them not right now. You know? Because I never know when I'm going to need that person that I'm willing to say no to so easy. You know? When I came into Narcotics Anonymous, man, I ain't look like this. I got to be honest. I did not look like this. It was wintertime. I had summer pants on up to my ankles, a leather jacket up to my wrist, a linen skull cap on, and a green trash bag over my shoulder with all my worldly possessions. When the newcomer comes in the room today looking like that, I'm one of the first to go hug him and tell him to keep coming back. This is a little thing I like to do. Do you do that? Have you forgot how it was when you got here? Does that allow you to look at somebody and put some judgment on somebody because they're not where you think they should be? I just throw that out, you know, because I'm one of them kind of guys, man, that I am now called a Narcotics Anonymous policeman. You know what I'm saying? Because, see, I read the literature, But when I go in the rooms, I hear so much stuff that people say so cool that ain't in the book, and the newcomer picking it up and running with it. You know? Or are you that person that sits in a meeting and a newcomer raises her hand or his hand and shares an issue? And as the meeting continues, you allow that meeting to go on with nobody addressing that newcomer's issue? When they're talking about superficial shit that you heard at the last meeting that they ain't working on? I mean, just for the day, man, I ain't running nothing, right? Because the literature says our leaders are for trust and service. They do not govern. But it's my responsibility to the newcomer that I don't forget where I came from and how the struggle was for me. Because, see, when I came here, man, like I said, I ain't had nothing. And then I acquired some things. But those things don't belong to me, but that's another story. I'll tell you who they belong to. Somebody might be able to relate to this, that all that I got belonged to my father, and I'm just a custodian. And when I don't do the right thing with it, he'll take it from me. But y'all might not be down with that, you know, because, see, y'all might have some stuff. You know what I'm saying? See, it might be your stuff. You know, you might have earned some stuff. You know, you might have acquired some stuff. That might be your new car outside. You know, those might be your new clothes that you got on, you know. That might even be your job that you don't like, that you go to every day, you know. But I'm a firm believer that he who seeks material things will gain material things and lose material things as fast as he gain them. But he who gets spiritual things, he who asks for spiritual things will gain material things and be able to appreciate them because they know who they belong to, you know. But when you get caught off guard, man, you really don't know where you're at, man, because I really don't know where I'm at, because, see, only reason why I'm standing up here, man, is to let y'all see what God can do if you're willing. See, this ain't me. Because, see, me, I want to go outside the door. I told y'all that. I want to go somewhere else. I want to be supportive of somebody else. But damn, I'm supportive of all y'all. My disease is so self-centered, man. That's the core. And for me, just for the day, man, when I find that I have to be so important, I know that's my disease working on me. There was a poem, Footprints. See, when I read spiritual things, man, I don't read spiritual things. I get into spiritual things. See, when I say the serenity prayer, I ain't just praying the serenity prayer. I'm asking God to let me be down Ocean City, man, at sunrise in the morning, watching the water come up on the beach, man, with the pretty sun. It ain't nothing going on in my life. That's serenity. That's what I'm asking for. All times, you know. And just for the day, just don't use, you know. Yeah, because, see, this program is so simple, man. But when I get around here, I want to be so intellectual because I want you to like me again. One more time, I'm trying to show somebody that I'm somebody that I'm not. Mm-hmm. So I got to make you believe that I'm all that in a bag of chips. You know what I'm saying? But where's the soda? You know, do you get fries with your shake? You know what I'm saying? Because, see, we walk around here sometimes. I can't talk about we. I got to talk about me. In observing, if you don't read the literature, you'll get lost. Because, see, one of the greatest gifts that an addict has is the gift of gab. You know what I'm saying? See, I've been a manipulator all my life, and I can say some shit real slick, and bam, you down with it. You know what I'm saying? And it'd be a lie. If your story like mine, look at all them lies that I listened to from them guys that sound so slick and look so good. And I ended up in here. And some of them dead too. And some of them ended up in jail. And some of them dead. See, my story is like this. If you don't believe that you were chosen, play your tape and tell me why you the only one that you can see left out of the people that you started out with. I started using dope, man, when it cost $1 and it came in a cap. That's for some old timers in here. You know what I'm saying? You know, see, some of y'all don't know about dope like that. That was when the chemists really had to work, you know. And I ended up, man, smoking rocks off a can, looking for that first high that I had. Because, see, some of y'all in here got high every time y'all smoke crack. I got high one time I was smoking crack, and that was the first time. And I'm just talking about me. Because, see, y'all probably had some better crack. You know, but that, I'm just talking about my story. And then you women, boy, y'all can say some hell of a things when a nigga got some money in his pocket. You know, the promises that y'all gave me, ooh. But I see, I know anybody else in here experienced that. Because they never did what they say they was going to do, man. They never did. You know what I'm saying? And then I need to share this. This is going to be a bleep, so you can bleep this out. When people wanted to have sex with me when I was getting high, man, it wasn't no happiness because I couldn't find my dick. I mean, it's real simple. Because I got a little one, and it got even smaller. Today, I don't have no problem finding the girl. Just for today. You know. It's an honest program. And when I first came here, I was so embarrassed to share that. But I need to be able to share that to give a newcomer some hope no matter what you're going through. Dump that shit in the room. You know what I'm saying? Because it ain't no big eyes or little U's in here. We all the same addict. Anybody in this room got the same chance of going back and using the day as a guy who's trying to get in here today. You know what I'm saying? My fear of me being a Narcotics Anonymous is me not doing what I'm supposed to be doing for the God of my understanding. You know what I'm saying? I have a responsibility. Now, this is debatable because I talk to some people that's real religious, and they talk about you don't owe God nothing. I owe God something. You know what I'm saying? I owe him. You might not. I do. You know what I'm saying? Because my gratitude speaks because I believe that God saved me for one reason and one reason only, and that's to show the newcomer that he, too, can live one day at a time without using. He can lose the desire to use and have a better way of life. You know, the literature talks about being a maximum service to God and your fellow man. That's all I'm here for, y'all. That's all I'm here for. I can do what I can do, man, because I ain't trying to hold on to it. Y'all told me in order to keep it, I got to be able to give it away. Now I'm an addict. And I want y'all to know how fucked up that sounded to me when they told me that. In order to keep what I got to give it away. I'm one of them kind of guys, man. I'm trying to get mine and yours, too. I mean, that's the way it was. I ain't really trying to let you know I got the, you know, when I went and got the thing, I broke a little piece off and slid it in my pocket for later. You know what I'm saying? You know, I was the kind of addict, man. When I was using, man, I always had to have me a wake-up shot or something. You know what I'm saying? I'd save a half a beer so I can have something in the morning to wake up to, man, because that's the kind of addict I was. You know what I'm saying? Just for the day, I don't need no beer. I don't need nothing but the God of my understanding to wake me up. Because, see, I understand that don't nothing happen if that don't happen. You know? And it don't have to happen like that, man. I went to a funeral the other day, man, but a guy that went to high school with me who was 1 year younger than me. And all I can tell y'all, man, is the gratitude that I got for still being able to give another chance to try to do this thing right, man. My life, as I want my life to be, is over. I tried to do everything that I could do to kill myself using one drug after another from 1958 to 1990. In 1990, man, when God showed me the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, my life began to change. It began to change because I no longer had control over it. I submitted my control to the God of my understanding. He run the show now. What you see right here is a direct result of me working every day trying to build a relationship with the God of my understanding. You too can build a relationship. Because see, I know I can't tell y'all where y'all at. Well, they stuck me in here, man. I was trying to get over to see Jerry, but they stuck me in here. You know what I'm saying? Today, man, today, when I wake up in the morning and I thank God for waking me up, I don't have a clue what the day gonna bring. See, some, every time I make plans, they don't never be the way that I plan them to be. See, let me give you this hit here, because somebody might be able to debate this, but I got one for you. I came into narcotics with a thinking problem. Nothing that I ever thought turned out the way that I thought it was gonna turn out. But somebody here thought the whole thing out. I know somebody here know how to think. I know somebody in this room right now can tell me that they know how to think. I still don't. Okay. Now tell me about that one time that you thought that was going to turn out the way that you thought it was going to turn out the way that it was. And it turned out the way that you thought it was. Because I can't. I'm 50 years old, man, and I can't. Yeah, well, I ain't look like this, you know. It's one of them transformations that God do for you, you know. Instead of getting older looking, you start looking younger, you know. And you start feeling younger. You know what I'm saying? You know. But I have to throw that out because that allows me not to use that intellect so much. See, I had to do things to me to break me down into my simplest form so I can allow God to work in my life. Because, see, even if I had one of them thoughts that turned out the way that I thought it was going to turn out, God always changed it. As I rode down here from Ocean City, and I do this a lot because, see, I'm trying to prove God to be alive. I look at all them trees as I roll down the highway, and no two of them look alike. That's real profound. That's God's work. That's just coming from Washington, D.C. to Ocean City. Think about all them other trees. Let's go from the bottom of 95 to the top of 95, and you still won't see no two trees that look alike. And that's God's work. So why should I go in that game thinking I could play with I know what God wants for me. God give me a set of rules to abide by, right? Say, you do these rules the best you can, and I'll take care of you. Ain't hurt me none. It ain't hurt me none, y'all. And I'm saying that because just for today, man, if I get out the way and let God do his thing, I don't have no problems, man. It's when I think that I know what's best for me better than God know what's best for me, and then I get in them situations. You know, I like to touch on this piece here too, y'all. Relationships. S-H-I-P-S. Right? See, they call them everything in the room when they get their feelings hurt. But the key to a relationship is this. If I can't sit with me, why would somebody else want to sit with me? If I don't bring it to the table, how can I ask to have it? Relationships are mutual. You know what I'm saying? If you are with somebody that you can't get all that you can get from them, why are you with them? I got a God who give me everything that I need. Why should I accept something less from a human being, You understand what I'm saying? And I'm trying to be a spiritual person. My picker broke. See, that's the thinking one more time. My picker broke. So I have to wait for God to send me that person that I'm equally yoked with. You understand? That's willing to take my little bit and put their extra with it, and my extra with to put with her little bit. And all I'm saying is, y'all, I have to develop a relationship with God before I can develop a relationship with anybody else. Because any other relationship will not last. And I'm talking about for me. I ain't talking about for nobody. Because see, everything that I'm saying in here, somebody else got to answer for it. Somebody got to answer for it. I just want to tell them two guys that are walking down the aisle that I love them, man. Thanks, Ernie. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's who you should have got. You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't his turn. You know what I'm saying? See, God got me up here sharing, y'all. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't like it, call your sponsor.
All right.
Wait a minute. And I ain't got no change, so you got to go on your own. Just for today, man, if you don't love somebody, especially yourself, you a miserable person. And I don't care about what you say. And I can say that about you because love is what makes this thing work. You know what I'm saying? I got to be able to give somebody some love even if they don't want it. Because I got to show somebody that it works. You know? I am not the most important person in Narcotics Anonymous because Narcotics Anonymous will go on without me. But I make Narcotics Anonymous better because I'm willing to show somebody that the program works. You know? My story is real simple. I used too much. I ended up in places that I didn't want to be. I ended up doing things that I didn't want to do. I was drove to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous because I did this one day, y'all. Lord, help me. Get me out of this. I don't want to do this no more. But I know ain't none of y'all did that. I know y'all ain't never got to the point where you were sick and tired, and the only thing that you could do was call on the only thing that you knew would work, and then you get in Narcotics Anonymous, forget that that's how you got here. You know. When the job gets to be more important, when the woman gets to be more important, when anything gets to be more important than Narcotics Anonymous, you just told God to kiss your ass. And I say that for me. Because the only reason why you got them things is because God got you here. And it's your responsibility, as it says on the medallion, that I got to be willing to share and care the NA way whenever somebody needs me to do that. You know? There's no shortcut to Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous says never alone. The first word and the first step say we. You don't have to go through anything in here by yourself. It's been proven to me. I've been through some deaths in here. And people walked me through it. I lost some jobs in here. And people walked me through it. I've been homeless in here. And people showed me how to get on my own two feet. And I'm saying to you, if you don't have any hope, it's because you ain't looking for none. You know what I'm saying? For so long, I looked for love in all the wrong places. You know, I heard this story one time. I might mess it up, but y'all might get the gist of what I'm saying. It was three devils. And they were smoking rocks off a can. I got to give it some glory, right? I got to make it look good. And they was talking about where they was going to hide love at. One of them said, well, man, I'm high, man. Let's hide it up on the moon. They can't get that high. The other one said, man, they got a rocket ship. They go up there every day. So the other one said, well, let's hide it under the ocean. Nah, man, they got a submarine. You know, they go down there and find things now. They got submarines that go down and pick stuff off the ground now, you know. The other one is slick one. He just got him a good blast. He said, man, shit. Let's hide love inside a man and man will never look that. So that's where they hid it at. Inside of you. Inside of me. And so many times I looked outside for love when I got it in here. Just for the day, I don't look for somebody to validate me. I validate me. I validate me, man, when I get up in the morning, man, and take that shower. When I don't put on them drawers with the skid marks. If they got a bottom, you know what I'm saying? Because sometimes, you know, you pull them too hard and all you got is a headband. Yeah. But today, man, today, when I walk outside my house, man, I carry God outside my house with me. When I get in my car, I carry God with me in my car. When I greet people, I greet people with God. A hug is not patting somebody on the back. A hug is hugging somebody like you love them. If you can't hug me, man, don't touch me. You know what I'm saying? Don't fake the funk with me. Because it ain't a fake it till you make it thing. It's a come in here, be whipped enough to try something different, and let's get it on. You know? And I just want you to understand, it ain't hard like people try to make it hard to be. Everybody that tell you Narcotics Anonymous said it's hard, it's because it ain't working on nothing. The key to Narcotics Anonymous, man, is to come in here, be honest, open-minded, willingness, and humble yourself to let somebody else know what's going on with you. Check this out. You ever been in this situation? You got a headache. One of them migraine kind, you know, them kind to be boom, boom. And you in a meeting. And the dude is saying some good shit. But you can't hear nothing because you got that headache going on. And they open the meeting and you don't say nothing. You got that headache going on. And people are sharing some good stuff. Some stuff that you've been through that you can share to help the newcomer get through it. But you can't hear because you locked up in self. And you won't share with somebody that you're going through pain. And at the end of the meeting, you get up. And we get ready to close out. And you kick the bag of the person who's sitting next to you. And out of that bag come a bottle of Tylenol. That whole meeting, you sat there in all that pain, selfishly. And wouldn't share. And your help was sitting right next to you. It ain't complicated. If you hurt, share. If you feel good, share. If you're going through something, share. If you just need a hug, get one. But you can't get one if you can't give one. What you bring to the table is what you can take off. If you don't bring it, you can't take it. I have a responsibility, man. And this is just for me, because I get caught up in this Narcotics Anonymous thing because my life has changed so drastically. You know what I'm saying? And I be so, I laugh at people, man, because they got a job now. You know what I'm saying? And I can't get to as many meetings as I used to. You know? And then when they come to the meeting, they hog the meeting and talk about that job, you know what I'm saying, that's got them from coming to the meeting. If you got a job that you ain't happy working on, why are you there? You know, I got a God who want me happy, man. He wants me happy. He want me to be able to enjoy myself, man. He want me to be that hell of a fella that I always wanted to be, as long as I don't cut nobody off. Where that's time to go? Oh, shit, all right, I'm through with this. I'm going to share this and I'm going to close, because you know they give me that old Apollo yank. You know, yeah. But remember, I ain't asked to be up here.
No.
You know.
You volunteered.
Yeah, well, that's the responsibility of being a Narcotics Anonymous. You don't have a choice. They say you do, but you really don't. You know what I'm saying? You know, they say you got a choice of whether or not you're going to use or not. That ain't no choice. That's a thinking man's dilemma. See, I told y'all I don't think. You know what I'm saying? Because a thinking man would find a way to get around that. You know what I'm saying? You know, see, if you don't pick it up, you can't get high. Huh? Yeah. One of my senior hall things. Yeah, I never knew that. But if you listen to what people tell you, you ain't got to think. Just do what they tell you to do. You know, they talk about suggestions in here. My sponsors don't give me suggestions. My sponsor or my grand sponsor don't give me suggestions. They give me instructions. Because I'm the kind of addict that would take something that they tell me and run with it because I put some cut on it. And they don't give me nothing on the cut. They give it to me straight up on the one. You know, I want to tell y'all I love y'all, man. And if ain't nobody did that today, that's because you ain't did it today. So you can't blame nobody else for not telling you you love them because love you because you ain't told nobody that you love them. You can't get what you don't give. You know what I'm saying? If you don't bring it to the table, you can't take it all. I love y'all, man. Thanks for letting me share.